Then he went to college and drank the derpy out of him.
I don't think that's how that works.
And then, he's like a special ed teacher or something now, right?
He is indeed, yes.
Oh. So, like, you can't really be a special ed teacher in a very liberal county.
But isn't that just sort of the derpy people teaching the derpy people at this point?
I don't know if you could get away with that in Prince William County.
Yeah, I mean, that's where he started teaching special ed, was in Prince William.
That's what I'm saying. Well, where does he live now?
Yeah. In Roanoke.
Oh, why does everybody live down in Roanoke now?
Who's everyone? You know two people who live in Roanoke.
So
he's upset because he was in that area where no one was there, and now everyone's moving it once he finally left.
Like, I mean, my sister lives there, obviously. Then my grandma moved down there. Then Brooke's brother moved down there to be a firefighter. Fuck.
I stand corrected. You know who else lives in Roanoke?
Down there. My family lives down there. Robbie lives down there. Ben is within a earshot away from it. So,
that's because it's the hipster conservative place to live.
Not really.
Okay. We need to have a.
Do you know who else lives in Roanoke? You never answered my fucking question.
Kiyoshi.
No.
That would be crazy.
He could do well.
I think he could do well in Roanoke. It's got enough hipsterness to it.
Not really.
I don't think so. That town is
square block of hipster.
That town is West Virginia East.
Yeah.
You know, Roanoke could use Kiyoshi's nerdy eyesight.
Continue guessing or give up.
I give up. Who is it?
Remember Sarah.
Sarah Ehrman.
No, not Adam. Sarah Ehrman. Sarah Adams.
Oh, yeah. She moved down there forever ago.
Yeah, to my knowledge, she still lives there. I'm not 100% sure. I haven't spoken to her in years.
Well, she was in the VT.
Yeah.
It wasn't the med program, but it was like some kind
of... She was with their psych department doing research. Right. And to my knowledge, that's still
where she lives in Charlottesville, actually. I have a funny story about that.
Oh, really? You've probably spoken to her more recently than I have.
Well, so this was no more than 2 years ago.
We're recording now, by the way.
This was no more than 2 years ago. So my mom sent me a message because my mom was job hunting at the time. And I won't go deep into those details, but she was a disgruntled employee at her employer. And she was
just like me.
What?
I said, just like me, disgruntled employee at their employer.
Exactly. And so she went and she was looking around and she applied for this job that she felt was a really good fit. And it was like an agile manager, I think. I can't remember exactly what it was, but it was at the University of Virginia. It goes through the job posting and she sent it to me because she wanted me to kind of look at her resume and see if she was as good of a fit as she thought. So I looked through it. She'd be working with this like Alzheimer's research, something like that.
I see where this is going.
Doing like developer style stuff.
And she forgot to send her resume in and they said you're hired.
No. And so she sent, and so I'm like, yeah, that works out well. And so she sent her stuff in and then like she ended up getting a reply and the hiring manager there for that team was Sarah Adams.
Yeah, there it is. Because she used to work on she worked on Alzheimer research. That was her thing.
Yeah, so I sent her a message just saying, hey, I mean, like, long time no talk. I just wanted to say hey and that my mom applied for your job and blah, da, 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 da. And then I can't remember what came of it. But my mom ended up getting interviewed, but she didn't want to commute to Charlottesville, and my parents didn't want to move to Charlottesville, so they were like, and they wouldn't let her work from home. So, I think that's what became of it.
Tragic.
Interesting. All right. Oh, I didn't know that she was in Charlottesville, so that's kind of cool.
Well, 2 years ago she was.
Yeah. I mean, whatever. Like, that's more recent communique than I've had, so.
Ian is still a bachelor, Sarah, so if you...
That is not true. That is 0% true. Holy shit. That's like negative 0%, if that were a thing.
So if you are off your birth control, see Ian.
Oh my god.
Now Jesus in the market for Asian babies.
Half Asian babies.
Well, quarter they'll be quarter Asian. Asian if it's a white girl.
Oh, baby.
Like, I feel bad for my kids, because like, they're not going to know what to check on those ethnicity boxes.
kind of just put a check on all of them, and then they just hope they just don't ask questions.
Oh no.
You know, I do feel bad for your kids, my kids, and everybody's kids, though, because, like, when we were younger, all we had to worry about was the extremely narrow chance that we'd be illegally looking at porn as 13-year-olds, and they're like, oh my god, there goes my mom, you know? Nowadays, like, what happens if little young Ian Jr. stumbles upon this cache of podcasts? Where, like the Susan Labia episode.
You know, I don't think that these will be around.
I think that, I hope they do. I hope they stumble upon us, because that means that we are around still.
There you go.
You know, I have this is actually an interesting...
positive spin.
This brings up, and I can't, like, we're already derailed, but I want to get your feedback on this as somebody who could realistically in the next year be a father. I have no fucking idea how to handle technology and little kids nowadays, because like when we were growing up, like we didn't have smartphones, we didn't have iPads or anything. Like I had a flip phone when I turned 16, when I started driving. Yep. And but now, like, I see like little kids walking around with smartphones, and I'm like, I have no fucking idea what age is the age that you should get your kids a phone. Or
it's too early. It's all of these things are way too early for these kids. They don't need smartphones.
Yeah, and that's the thing. It's like, how do you monitor? Like, the internet is so much scarier than when like I was a kid. When it was like,
I think our...
Because, like, when we looked at porn, like, all right, like, we're going to go there. When we looked at porn as kids, like, I had dial-up. Like, I would be lucky right. if I saw five boobs in an hour. Like, you were just, like, sitting there as if, like, the buffering for, like, the little 30-second clip was, like,
porn and dial-up.
It was, oh, my God, it was, like, it was the ultimate blue balls. But now, it's just, like, the world is your oyster. I'm just, like, it terrifies me as a potential parent.
I'm not worried about that.
In general, our generation is terrible at being parents because all the kids are having smartphones and tablets and stuff, and I'm like, you don't need that much internet right now. Like, I don't trust your stupid brain to make smart choices on the internet. Go do something else.
Richard sounds like a 90-year-old man right now.
But it's like, you good. Have to... But
always,
like, you have
you
to
know what? I've always sounded like a 90-year-old man. Let's be real.
But you also have to set a good example for your kids. Because, like, I can't, like, tell right. my kid, like, you can't have a smartphone. And then, like, whenever we're doing anything, my head is going to be buried in a smartphone. Like, that's the thing. Like, you can't... Right. You got to walk the walk and talk the talk, so...
So I have two major opinions on this. First... The whole idea that, like, technology is ruining the world is the stupidest thing.
I don't think it's ruining the world. I just don't know how to handle it.
Right.
I don't think an 8-year-old should have access to their own phone is
so
where I stand on
it. I feel that, like, I feel it's a double-edged sword. First, I feel that restricting technology access to somebody in a world where everybody has technology is not a good idea. Like, my kids anyway... I mean, they're going to be playing video games with me. They're going to be using devices and phones and everything. On the flip side of that, I will donkey punch you in the throat if I go to dinner with you and like your kid's on their fucking iPad or something while they're at dinner.
Oh, that would never happen.
It has happened.
But it like I can, that will never happen with my children. Like that's like a huge fucking pet peeve for me.
Right, it is for me too. So for me, it's yes and yes. Like I completely agree with the idea of appropriate use of technology and setting good examples. But I mean, I fully expect my child to have like a smartphone and access to the internet and everything from a young age. And then, just like everything else in the world, you just roll with the punches. I mean, yeah, if they get in the wrong place, you true. Correct them.
That's probably true. Because it's like the always thing, like, is like if you restrict, if you artificially restrict them, then they're going to be more curious and more like apt to abuse technology anyway, because then they're going to be like rebelling against you for yep. restricting them. So,
My kids growing up, I'm going to just drop down a CD player and an NES and tell them have fun, and then just walk away for a year.
See, that's not what I want to do, because,
and,
like,
and then
my
maybe
parents...
in 2 years, give them a Super Nintendo, and then upgrade them to just an iPod,
well,
and then slowly
my parents integrate them. My parents did not let me have a console until I was, like, 13. And it was very, like, sad.
Oh, same with me,
so,
actually, yeah.
So I don't want to be, like, that kind of parent where, well, I'm just like, oh, like, video games are just distracting you from studying, which is the only thing
that
matters.
Was the reasoning behind my parents, too. It wasn't less about, like, we think this hobby is trash, and more of, like, you know, you already have so many distractions. How about you just not do this, and we'll wait until you get a little older and your studies are more in line. So...
I mean, I'm already going to have the consoles anyway, so...
For me, it was literally the opposite. And I think that it really shows that how we all come from different places and all of those ways work to certain degrees, whether we like them or not. Like, I mean, when I was a kid, I had completely unfettered access to technology. Now, we were not ridiculously wealthy people, so, like, I didn't have... many consoles. Like, I had a SNES when everybody had a N64, and I had a PlayStation 1 when everybody had a PlayStation 2 and all that. But, like, but as much as I wanted to play that bullshit or be on the internet or do stuff on the computer, I could do anything I wanted whenever I wanted. And we all turned out okay.
Yeah.
But I did not get my first phone until I was 16, so I was in that department too.
Yeah, but the phones were different then. They were not smartphones when we were in high school. They were flip phones and stuff.
Back in my day,
remember when the Razor was cool?
Oh, yeah. Man.
I didn't have one of those.
Me neither. I had, like, a cheap... because it was on, like, Verizon or Sprint or something. I forget. And I was on AT&T.
I had, like, the knockoff Samsung.
Singular. I was on Singular.
Oh, I had Singular. I remember.
Back when it had absorbed AT&T, and then AT&T, like, an alien parasite burst out of its chest and became its own thing again.
That's a movie I haven't seen in a while, Alien. I should show that to Susan, but she probably wouldn't like it because it doesn't have enough CGI clowns in it.
Oh my god!
Did she like It 2?
No, she liked It 1.
She wanted to walk out.
She wanted to walk out. Like, yeah, she liked It 1, and then It 2, she was like, afterwards she told me, she's like, if we weren't here with a friend, I would have asked to leave.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
Like, I've never seen her, like, she very rarely talks about movies afterwards, because, like, we're kind of opposite in that. Like, I like to break a movie down and sort of, like, really deep dive it, and Susan wants none of that. She's like, it was fun, I have nothing else to say. And then, but, like, with this movie, she actually had a lot to say, which was very unusual, so. But I see that's at the end of the notes, so I'll wait.
Okay. We could have segued right into
that
if you wanted to.
It's a tease.
I mean, we can talk about it whenever you want. Doesn't matter.
Oh, you're the boss, Richard.
This is a hijinks episode.
Yeah, this is very much...
Richard, get us back on the rails.
I mean, alright guys, welcome to another exciting episode of the League of the Gentlemen. 12 and a half minutes in, we are here to talk about...
It's like a Transformers cold open.
And video games, and baseball, and random other miscellaneous things.
Hijinks.
But with me today, as always, is Patrick Weaver.
I went first this time.
You did.
And keeping us on track by trying to make me keep you all on track is Ian Shaw.
That is not even remotely true.
It's a little true.
Wow.
So, guys, we've actually managed to have an episode relatively close to the last time we had an episode, so I'm proud of us.
Yeah.
I'm proud of you, Richard, for editing and getting out the last two episodes in quick succession.
The only one I have left, and I'm almost done with it, is the WoW Classic one, and that's because I decided to go with the Zencaster kind of recording, which is still a piece of shit, but the stuff it has is better than what I had in the other one in terms of quality, or audio quality, so I'm just sort of sifting through it slowly and re-syncing audio the way it's supposed to. It's just taking longer to do that with a fine-tooth comb than I'd like. So that's the last time I'm using Zencaster too. So today we are on double Audacity records. So
nice. We definitely appreciate your effort.
Thanks. So if you guys want to talk about our hijinks notes, Pat, you've actually been the one mostly adding these things in, so I'm going to let you go first.
Yes, sir. So
like the first topic.
So since all of these things, all these podcasts are running together, we should talk about popular events right now. So Donald Trump impeachment
inquiry. This is supposed to be a safe space.
It is a safe space, except for the next 2.5 minutes.
I hope you have a thing down here involving me, yeah. And I want to know what the like presumption is because
No. Let's be clear. We have to set the facts out first before we talk about this. I want it to be known 100% that Richard told me unequivocally that he voted for Donald Trump when he called me in 2016.
I did not.
This is a fact. I have transcripts. You can look them up.
Transcripts. You can look those up. I will.
I am not a crook.
So anyway,
Telegram conversations now.
Let's actually lay out the facts here so we can set the stage for this, what will probably be short, hijink-filled segment.
Please, God, yes.
So Donald Trump inquiry started, technically started yesterday, but the hearing started today. The idea is that he's supposedly tried to influence the Ukrainian president to investigate Joe Biden, political opponent. In general, that's kind of bad. The thing that makes it illegal is he potentially was trying to withhold foreign aid in exchange for that, which would be illegal and impeachable. There's some more details that came out today, but we're not going to get into those kinds of things from the whistleblower. The where we're going with this, though, is that Richard has historically tried to remain from the planet neutral in essentially this entire presidency. Like, Richard is definitely a bit more on the conservative side compared to Ian. And
so. And Ryan is my hero.
Yep. he definitely doesn't like to what's the best way to put this? To insult the party, so to speak.
Jesus, that makes it sound bad.
I don't know if I would say that. I have been critical of certain aspects.
So Richard, I guess the question is this whole thing just a political farce, or is Donald Trump actually trying to bring down America?
So I wasn't listening to the beginning because about what he's doing this time. Because I was looking up the transcripts of what I told you guys who I voted for. So could you repeat the first part again?
Jesus fucking Christ.
Yeah, so unfortunately the first part has been redacted by our OTN overlords. So so we're going to skip right to the question. Do you think that Donald Trump is bringing down America? Or do you think this is just a political farce? And
I listened to this during the editing process, my answer is not going to match up to the original question at all. But what I'm going to say is, ultimately, no, I don't think he's bringing down America. I don't think he's great. I think the fanatics are kind of psychotic about, like, both sides, about either wanting to impeach him and both sides with saying, like, he's the greatest thing that America's ever had. Because he's not. And I always groan audibly when I see him on the news making a quote, because it just sounds like a 3-year-old with, like, anger management issues wrote it. And, no, but, like, ultimately I don't think, like, America's really going to change in the way, like, people, the doomsayers, think it's going to. But, you know, also, this is what you kind of get. I didn't vote for this guy. You guys voted for him. Whatever.
Who are these you guys? It's definitely not you.
I don't know. The listener.
The listener.
Out there.
Nice. Ian, do you have a rebuttal for that response?
I think a very generic response for a very generic question.
So, I mean, I was very dialed into current events leading up to the 2016 election and kind of got very emotionally invested in the outcome. And then I was also very emotionally invested about the first 6 to 9 months of Trump's presidency. And then, like, I don't know that it was one particular moment, but the apathy kind of set in at some point where I kind of just gave up caring. And I very rarely read about what's going on with the White House, probably for the last year and a half to 2 years, I pretty much just ignore it because it is like my opinion of it is that it has become a farce to the point where the wool has been kind of removed from my eyes, and my opinion of the office of the president is that they don't really do that much, because this is in my opinion, based on his behavior and how he speaks and how he interacts with people and what people say about him, is that this is a man who has a degrading mental state. He reminds me kind of a lot of my grandfather when he first was starting to get Alzheimer's.
Was that the one in the concentration camp?
He was in an internment camp.
Right. So you're like, comparing Donald Trump to a man in a concentration camp. Okay.
Not in the sense that like my grandfather was like a racist or anything like that, but like just the way he talks and his mannerisms and how he gets hung up on certain things and has a tendency to lash out when somebody contradicts him and things like that. Like, it's very consistent like with how my grandfather would act when he was first starting to get dementia. And to me, I'm like, if a person like that can be president and the country is not falling apart, like, you know, the things are generally humming along like they usually do. People think that we're awful, like just generally, but, yep. But like on a pragmatic level, the country isn't like falling to pieces. I think most of that's just because the real power and the real decisions come from other places, like come from people within his cabinet, come from people in Congress, come from different, you know, Senates and House subcommittees. Like, these are the people that, like, the behind the scenes people who are doing the real legwork to make sure our democracy continues to chug along, and that the president is a figurehead and probably a good barometer of where the country is from a kind of pop politic perspective, like sort of the flavor of the decade, like where the mood is. He's kind of like a mood ring, I think, as like on a political sense. Like, Obama was like that hopeful new turn of the century sort of like mentality, and then like everything got very cynical, and like that's kind of where we're at now, and who knows where we'll be in 10 years. But like, I've completely become jaded towards the office of the president. I think that it's mostly pointless, and that it doesn't really do a lot, because if Donald Trump can be an effective president of this country and nothing really has gone catastrophically wrong, then I think pretty much anyone can do it. So who cares?
Yeah. So you definitely rambled there for like 4 minutes too long. I'm just laying that out there. But my only comment in addition to this is that a lot of people don't realize, I guess, that the president of the United States and the president of pretty much every country is just a political figurehead, and that there is a ton of executive underneath. And then obviously in America, the legislative as well that runs the country. And so while political agendas do shape policy, and we can't undercut the importance of that, the person standing at the podium is just the figurehead. And so I was talking about this with somebody just the other day about how, like, you know, we don't really want – we don't want people in the presidency who are scummy. We don't want people who are fake. We don't want any of those things. Like, but we'd definitely rather have a guy who looks, acts, and speaks presidential as the first quality above all others. Like, when you hear him speak in front of the UN or in foreign affairs or even domestic everything, you totally want the guy to be presidential, because everything else underneath that, is, like Ian said, is taken care of by the glut of government that supports it. So, like, I mean, even if I don't agree, and I know Ian doesn't agree with the policy decisions of the current executive, like, if you just replace that guy with Rand Paul or something, or like somebody who is a lot more presidential, then I think people would have a lot less problem with just the comings and goings of every day.
Yeah, I mean, I don't disagree with anything you said. Like, I think people would have a lot more positive day-to-day feelings and interactions with government, and mm-hmm. and then, because like when we were growing up, it was in school, it was kind of painted as this like good thing and civic duty to vote and to be engaged in your political process. And like yep. that it was this beautiful thing. And it just feels so dirty and filthy now, where like politics isn't, it's less of a civic duty now and more of just like this like soapbox to scream at each other. And when your president is at the head of that crowd, at the head of the mob, trying to encourage that sort of behavior, like it breaks everything down. So,
well, there is no trust in really anything, and not just any institution, but just in anything on a day to day. Because two weeks ago, Brooke and I watched Good Night and Good Luck, right? And that kind of situation could never happen today, where a trusted figure goes in front of a mass of people and says, "Hey, this isn't right, and this is why." And people go like, "You know what? I trust this guy. Even though I'm afraid of the commies, this guy's right. Like, we need to put a stop to this." That would never happen, because even if what we would feel is a trusted figure comes in front of us, you have 17,000 voices coming from every direction yelling just as loudly, saying, "Oh, this guy's a crock of shit." Or like, 15 years ago, this guy took a donation from George Soros, so all he is just a stooge. He's not actually to be trusted. You know, like, so we kind of walk through the valley of shadow of death around here, because it's just all whatever you choose to believe from all of the sources that are out there.
Yeah. It was easier before everybody had a podium.
And with that said, I think that, Richard, we should sterilize every third son. All right, moving right along.
Now, we sacrificed the firstborn to our great sun god, Ra.
There we go. I do like Ra. Flying stories. So yesterday, I got to actually feel like a pilot for the very first time. And I say that because I think I've said that I felt like a pilot for the first time in a story in a previous episode, but this is not in like a stage scenario. My instructor had to go down and take one of his planes to an airport in southeastern Mississippi to get its annual inspection done, and he didn't have a ride, and so he needed somebody to pick him up. So I flew down, he flew his plane down, and I flew our trainer down to pick him up, and then flew back, and it was like an actual productive trip instead of just a fake productive trip. So that was pretty cool.
I'm happy for you, Pat.
Dude, nice.
Yep. And I'm pretty much done. Like, all I need to do is complete my written, and then I've done all my hours and my requirements. I just need to do my practical then.
That's exciting.
Yep.
Dude, I'm super excited, because if I go and visit you, potentially, if I pick the right airport, you could just, you know, meet me there and fly me back.
It's any airport.
Yeah.
New Orleans would be a little interesting, but it'll work. Anyway, moving right along, any more news that you want to talk about?
I don't really have any. I'm looking for this is just for me, but I'm moving soon, potentially.
Really?
Where are you moving?
So, well, yeah, no. Although, let's not rule that out. the prices for Manassas Park has just gotten, like, way too expensive for all these places around here in terms of, like, what they... Like, all the apartments are increasing every year, and water and whatever. So my roommate and I were going to, with another friend, we're finding a townhouse over in Bristow. And
hey, in my town.
Yeah, actually, now it's New Bristow, I guess, not old where.
New Bristow?
But, yes. Well, Kingsbrook.
Oh, okay.
And so we're looking to that. The problem is that, like, I've left this into the hands of my roommate.
Uh-oh.
And he has dragged his feet and taken an extremely long time. So our lease ends on October 24th.
Uh-oh.
And which is less than a month away now. And he only just now put a bid in for the townhouse. So accordingly, the housing, like, you know, when you buy a house, the whole process, people don't hustle nearly enough as you would think, in 2019.
Oh, you're pretty screwed.
And if they do, there is a plethora of things they have to do in order to make sure everything checks out. Not to say least, not a background check per se, but, like, they do some, like, a lot of checks on both you and, like, the house and everything. And all that takes time, which boggles my mind why some of it doesn't get done beforehand, but whatever. So there's a very, very real chance that I will have to slum it with somebody for a couple days and throw everything I have into storage as they finally close.
Richard, why does this always happen to you?
It does not always happen to me.
No, this is this is an absolutely 100% Richard thing to happen.
Yeah.
It didn't happen to me when I found this apartment.
That it happens every time. I'm saying that this is a Richard thing to happen. Not that this
Well, but you're not renting it, right? You're going in and buying it.
Yeah, so actually it's going to be my roommate, because he's the one with the big boy job that can afford these sort of things. But he's the one who is buying it, and I am going to be helping him, like, basically renting by paying
him.
You're
renting. You are so screwed. You are, like, you are beyond screwed.
So that way, so the only reason I'm more screwed is because his parents still live in the area, so he can just, you know, go back to them and wait until this thing finishes.
Oh,
the other roommate also lives with his parents still.
So what are you going to do?
Right.
Well, my old roommate who moved to Gainesville, I'm going to probably bum on his couch for a day or two until everything kind of finishes up.
A day or two?
Well, however long it, like, it could be a day or two. It could be up to 3 weeks. Lacey, the dog, is going to go down to my parents' house. Everything else is going into storage. It's going to be me, some clothes, and probably the Nintendo Switch.
Oh, my God. So, like, that's kind of the thing, is that, Ian will attest to this, because he just went through this process. Like, buying a house is completely different than renting an apartment. Like,
very much. Yep.
When we were looking to buy a house, just like we did the pre-approval and we didn't even go through to get to closing, but it's like a multi-month process, even if you have the exact house that you want. And that all depends on if the seller is actually moving along with it.
Right. Because if the seller is like we were ready, side of the process went very fast because like we were prepared and we had pretty much done everything right. Like Susan and I were kind of ready for closing inside 3 weeks. But the seller didn't have a place lined up. So they were the ones dragging their feet. So the whole process, like even though we moved it along really fast, ended up taking like over a month and a half just because the seller wasn't ready. And like, that's just assuming that everything goes all right. Like my parents just had to relist their house in Virginia because the buyer lost their job like a week before closing and like lost their loan. And it's like, I know that's different, like buying and selling, but like shit happens. Like your situations can change on a dime. So like, it's just, I hate that you're tying yourself to this situation of which you have zero control.
Yes.
Like you know, those sharks that have the little like parasitic fish that like hang on to them.
No. So yeah,
right now, Richard.
So the issue is that we had been talking and been saying like, hey, let's do this house thing. And, I didn't want to put down my name into like the main primary this time because I don't know how much longer I'm going to stay up in Nova because,
oh, you're going to go to Roanoke too.
Yeah, probably. One day. That's the dream. That's the dream.
Whose
someday
dream?
My dream.
Oh,
my
God.
Martha and Luther King's dream.
To go to Roanoke?
I know who to Roanoke. Wasn't that part of a speech? Part of his I Have a Dream speech?
To move to Roanoke, yes. Yes, it was right in the middle.
Yes, I'm sure that he decided, hey, I want to go live with these fucking like racist coal miners.
He's from what, Alabama?
So. Yeah, I guess it would be
that's
a step
the part
up.
Nobody quotes. That's the part nobody quotes. But no.
It's like, hey, that's I had a really bad joke that I'm not gonna say.
So my thing is we've been talking about this for like since June. And looking, and I think May was when he started looking or whatever.
Yeah.
Quote unquote started looking. And somehow has squandered all the time beforehand to make this, like, on time for us. Mm-hmm. And now we're at this point where, like, I am being screwed because of the fact that I left it in his hands because he's the one who's
going to... Oh, you didn't tell me you were going to move in with Robbie?
No, this is...
funny guy.
Well, that does sound...
It's funny because it's true!
It's true, yeah. So, I am now, like, stuck with this fact that, like, he surely has more flexibility and it's no big deal for him. But, like, obviously I am now up a creek that I was out of, left in the lurch a little bit because of the
fact
that...
Can you go month to month?
No, I mean, okay, I could if I wanted to be broke in a month. Because it's the price for my apartment in the area I'm in is very reasonable comparatively to the other places, but only if I do, like, 13 to 14 months on a lease. Once you go month to month, it is horrendously unreasonable.
Oh, yeah, most places,
like,
are.
We're talking, like, $2,000 a month.
So what's, wait, so when do you move, when is your lease up?
October 24th.
And, all right, so what's your contingency plan?
My contingency plan
sleeping on the couch with
his
friend, remember?
I have actually, like, a several friends, so, like, if I overstay my rent with one, I can move to the next one.
I'm sorry, just the way you phrased that was very funny.
I have several friends, people. Several friends. No, like, I do have a wealth of
couches, of lumpy futons.
I have a network of couches and futons in which I can bum off of for a couple of days apiece if need be.
Oh, my God.
Because the hope is that it will not take too much longer.
I'm just picturing Richard staying in one of those, like, week-to-week hotels. With, like, the drug dealers and the prostitutes.
Whatever you do, Richard, just don't tell your mother this story.
No, she's the one who's helping me with the whole situation.
Oh,
so.
Oh, really?
Yeah, okay. Like, that's the whole, like, because what else am I supposed to do? I still have a job to go to. So, like, what, am I going to go, get in a hotel or something and pay even more money? Like, why not just ask a couple of friends to... Like, stay on their sofa for a weekend.
You're 30 years old, Richard!
Yeah, well, unfortunately, that's the situation I find myself in. So, I mean, like...
Alright, I'm gonna choose to not say any more on the topic.
We're cutting off on this one.
Otherwise, things will get mean-spirited.
we're cutting off this topic and moving on. Is there any more news? But bottom line, Richard, good luck. I mean, I hope it works out for you.
I
hope so, too. Jesus.
But all right. So, any more news you guys want to talk about? I've taken
over. This show. Like, looking at these notes, this is a lot of depressing shit.
Okay, so Richard, I'm actually really interested in this next topic.
Okay.
So every year, you and I talk about doing some other new fantasy, and every year we never do it. We've talked about fantasy hockey before. This is definitely fantasy basketball season. You've asked me about fantasy golf once or twice, which is actually...
Well, yeah, but that's more of like, how the hell do they do fantasy golf? Or fantasy NASCAR is another one that I've been curious about how they make that work.
So so are we going to do a new fantasy for the winter months?
I'm not really interested in basketball. I just don't like the personality that comes with basketball, so it's going to be a hard hurdle for me to get over. But I am actually kind of interested in hockey.
Okay. So, Ian, would you be interested in fantasy hockey?
0%.
Come on, Ian.
I don't know. I can't even name... Alex Ovechkin, is he still playing?
Yes, he is.
Yes.
That's the only hockey player I know.
Hey, that's the same with me. Hey, man, I didn't know anything about baseball, and you guys roped me into it, and now look at me. Got 3 championships.
I don't even have, like, a local hockey team to root for here.
The
Wild.
That's Minnesota.
Yeah, but that's pretty close.
Fuck Minnesota.
Actually, no, what am I even saying? You're, like, 2 hours from Chicago. Go fuck yourself.
Or you just go to your hometown of Philly and just go with the Flyers. Like,
yeah, I don't know. Are the Flyers any good?
Does it matter? They're supposed to be your team.
Like, I mean, I
don't... He's a true Philadelphian. If the team's not any good, it might as well not exist.
Wow, fuck you. Like, I don't know anything about hockey. Like, I don't even know most of the rules. I know that you skate up and down a rink, and you hit the puck into the goal, and that it's okay to, like, check people most of the time, and I guess you can maybe fight, but... There's three periods.
Richard's argument is that this is what he did with baseball, is that he came in with no knowledge, and then he...
My starting third baseman was a guy who was still in the minors for, like, 3 months
but
before
Richard
he ever
had,
came up.
Richard had an interest in baseball. I don't really have an interest in hockey.
I had no interest in baseball. I just wanted to participate
because he wanted to be one of the guys.
Yeah.
Why are you saying that, like, because Richard succumbed to peer pressure 10 years ago, that I have to do the same now?
Because I know anything about TV cop dramas, that you police officers succumb to peer pressure a lot.
It is true. We are a peer pressurable bunch.
Usually after the phrase, "The system stinks!"
All cops are pigs. All right, so let's...
When does hockey
let's
season begin?
Yeah,
week and a half, 2 weeks.
Well, what the fuck?
I don't have time to do research and figure shit out.
I don't even... What?
Is there a podcast I can listen to?
So this is what we're going to do. We're gonna join a fantasy hockey league.
Are you fucking kidding
all
me?
All three of us. We'll get
a public league? Like,
a public one?
Are you fucking kidding me?
Public league, yeah, man.
No, public leagues are so gross.
Oh, I wonder if I could find enough interest. How many people do you think we need? Like six? Do you think six will be enough?
I have no frame of reference. I've never done fantasy hockey.
I would think that only six people. Would
I'm assuming
that,
it's
like,
points.
The talent
based
pool would still be a little shallow, a little bit.
What do you
too
even
deep
get points for?
I don't know. Like, I don't
miracles
know anything about this either.
Miracles.
I mean, I know
you
about
get
hockey.
You get points
for
Ian.
Huh?
You get points for miracles and beating the Russians.
Oh, my God.
Well, then I guess we're fucked. So, because we're in bed with them now.
Whoa, zing.
Let me
all right,
see.
So I'll figure this out, and then we'll do a live show.
I think this is... I did not commit to anything.
Yeah,
I
yes,
did
you did. All
right. No.
I bet we could rope Joey and Heller into it.
Yeah, I think I know a guy down here who...
Sweet. All right. Yeah, let's put it in the books.
Yep, so, like, me and Brooke, Richard,
let's stumble our way
Ian,
through this.
Heller, Joey, my guy down here.
I love how
Evan.
You're volunteering a bunch of people who are not going to do this.
You're just talking about yourself, you rat bastard. All right, next topic, Antonio Brown.
Yes, you guys finally released him.
My favorite story of the year, except for the next story, which we'll get to in a second.
Okay, yes.
So... I just want to run through the timeline here, the loose timeline, because I know we've spent a lot of time already. First, he just completely quit on the Steelers, and there's a lot of little mini stories about that, which is really funny. Then he demands a trade, and the Patriots wanted to trade for him, but the Steelers said, "Nah, we're not gonna get in on that jazz because they're a rival. So we'll trade him somewhere else." So he trades him to the Raiders. Well, then the whole helmet saga, which we've talked about on the podcast before and is hilarious, which culminated in him getting the equipment guy from the Steelers to ship him his old Steelers helmet, and he spray painted it silver so that he could wear it on the practice field.
What?
Yeah, it's like a ghetto Raiders helmet. Really funny. Okay. And he argued with the Raiders about that as well. He also went through a cryotherapy treatment over the summertime on his foot, but he did it incorrectly, and it caused him to have moderate frostbite on his feet, which made him miss time during training camp.
If you have not seen the picture, do not. It's super gross.
It's really
well, most
funny,
frostbite is usually super gross, just to let people know they've never seen frostbite before.
And so then... There's well-documented issues with him and the Raiders, which culminated in him Googling how to
football,
like, be released via social media.
Is there a form for that?
The day before he posted
an app for that?
His demands to be released from the Raiders on Twitter, which was very funny. So he got released, and then he got signed by the Patriots. Well, like, the next day after he got signed by the Patriots, he had that civil suit brought against him, of the sexual assault. And I don't know if we've done it on the podcast. I don't want to get too deep into that for this, but off the podcast, we've talked about that at length. But the Patriots didn't know about it, but were like, okay, whatever, we'll figure this out. And they play him, and he has a fine game in week two. Well, then a second person comes forward and accuses him of similar things, again, civilly. And the Patriots release him. Well, let's take a break here for a second and go back. So the Patriots didn't release him because he was accused by a second person. It actually came out that they released him because after the Patriots let him play, after the first accusation, he sent text messages to the woman that accused him, essentially mocking her and saying that she's like a money-hungry slut, essentially. and that, you know, nobody can bring him down. And like, you know, nobody cares. And the Patriots didn't really like that too much, so they got rid of him. Since they got rid of him, he has posted that he has retired and that he's never playing the NFL again. And then he posted that he has unretired.
It sounds like a rage quit from like a League of Legends match.
No, it's totally true. He's posted that the system is
unfair. NFL football.
Yep. Posted that the system is unfair. He has re-enrolled at Central Michigan University, and he is taking four classes this fall. But he can't play football, in case you're wondering. He's just taking classes. He has posted a video to social media of him personally taking furniture out of his condo and throwing it off of his balcony into the road or whatever.
What?
Yeah. And a couple other things as well. So, bottom line, I would like to nominate Antonio Brown for the first podcast, League of Mediocre Gentlemen podcast, official crazy person of 2019, reserved for only people who can be deemed actually crazy.
We need a more creative name for that award, but I second the nomination.
Ian, do you have any comments about Antonio Brown?
I don't think he's done.
With football or with hijinks?
Both.
Yes. Like, I think. Look, this only ends after he has joined the Arena Football League, and like he's going full Ocho Cinco. Like he's gonna go play Arena football for a bit. Then he's gonna go talk to what's his face with the WWE. And like try and bring the XFL back again. Yeah. And then he's going to go to jail. And then he's going, after he's released, he's going to appear on a reality TV show. And like, whether it's which one, I think that this like reeks of Bachelor in Paradise. I think that's where.
Yeah,
I would watch that. And then he rapes a girl on Bachelor in Paradise.
Oh my god! Okay. Oh my god! Okay.
Episode of the year.
You're kind of skipping a step here, though, Ian, because I agree this is going the Ocho Cinco route and the Terrell Owens route and everything. But the missing piece is that both of those players started being really bad. So like on the field. So there was really no incentive for teams to put up with their nonsense, and the less that they performed on the field, the more that they were like, you know what, we're just going to leak everything about how crazy this motherfucker is. Antonio Brown, though, is excellent still on the field.
Is he?
No, he is.
Yeah, no, he's still a great player, yeah.
And so somebody is going to give him another chance. Like, and that's pretty much the news from today, that Drew Rosenhaus's agent is like, nah, he hasn't unretired. He's still actively looking. And I guess today the report today is that there's a couple interested teams in signing.
All right, I have one in mind. Like, all right, so because he was on the Raiders, who would have been one. He was on the Patriots.
L-E-S.
No, it's not going to be the Eagles. I think, you know who I think. It's just reeks up.
It's going to be the Jets.
Well, the Jets were my second choice behind this team.
Okay, what team?
It's got to be the Browns, right?
No, the new Browns won't do that. The new Browns have Odell Beckham. They won't do that.
Oh, I forgot they have Odell now. I guess they don't need him now. So, but I mean, like, I this was 5 years ago. 5 years ago, Browns. Like, this was 100% something that they would do.
Yep. You know who, honestly, is the clear front runner? Not front runner. Second runner, I guess. I feel the Jets are the highest chance at this moment. Number two, I really think the San Diego Padres.
What?
The baseball team?
Yeah, the baseball team. Because, like,
they haven't played baseball.
Because it's
they're not perfect, that desperate.
No, it's a perfect Padres team.
The Padres to spend ridiculous money on a player when they don't have, and then just like be mediocre forever. Oh wait, yeah, that's so, the Phillies. The Padres
spend $1 billion on a player based upon name value, and then they just pull together as many name value players as they can and expect to win. It's the
Padres. Stop making fun of my Phillies.
Speaking of the Phillies,
fuck you.
That goes into our next story.
So, honestly, it's not as juicy as Antonio Brown because there's just so much to unpack with Antonio Brown. But this really is my favorite story of 2019. Like, I don't know if this can, if there's anything that can top this. The whole Bryce Harper leaves the Nationals. The Nationals really stink at the beginning of the year. And everybody's like, oh, maybe he was good and we needed him in order to win. Da, 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 da. And then the Phillies really start to stink and they just can't find an identity, which may or may not be Bryce Harper's fault, but who cares? And then it all culminates in the game. What was it? Tuesday night? I think it was.
Yeah, it was Tuesday.
Phillies versus Nationals. The Nationals eliminate Bryce Harper's Phillies and clinch a playoff spot as well. And on top of that, Bryce Harper has a press conference after the game saying that his feelings were hurt based upon the heckling he got at the National Stadium. Oh, it's just amazing. I love it.
Like, I think the so you linked us an ESPN article about this, and the article itself, like, he doesn't, it's as if Harper knows he's a, like, just like making shit up or taking things too seriously, but like because the article itself didn't even include what was said to him, or that, because the article's like, you know, fans of Nationals go too far in heckles to Harper or something like this, and Harper doesn't say like what those are. So yeah. If like, as you said, if they were really bad, he would have been very much like telling us exactly what it was, or at least, you know, telling us of what lines they were sort of like. And then
he kind of alluded to, like, pretty much like, oh, so, like, you can say what you want about me, but like when you, like, I think it was pretty much alluding to they were probably talking shit about like his wife and kid.
That's, yeah, well then that would be crossing the line, but like,
I don't know. I think
it's, I mean, just based on what he was, the way like he said it, like saying like, hey, you can say what you want about me, but like when you go other things and like, well, okay, they were probably making like really degrading comments about his wife or something.
Yeah.
See, impossible. I just don't feel like all that's over the line. I don't. Now, like, if you're being racist and you're being like, you're being really like sexist and you're being just like obscenely vulgar, I guess.
I mean, like the thing for me is like, if you want to me, like if I was in his position and like someone starts like going over the line, whether for whatever reason, like past the, you know, good-natured whatever, like, heckling is heckling, but, like, if you're, like, making, like, really, really bad comments about someone's family or something like that, or you're being racist or we're making threats or stuff like that, then just, like, you're Bryce fucking Harper. Go into the dugout, make a phone call, be like, hey, like,
yeah,
assholes in row 3, yep, of section whatever, like, kick, yep, them out. Like, yep. And then, like, yeah, they'll kick them out. Like, yep, you can't do that in public. Like, that's not, you are not allowed to fucking do that.
Yep.
So. Yeah, but like, he, to my knowledge, he didn't do that. So
nope. And there were fans lined up in right field that with like their chest painted to say traitor.
And I mean, like, yes. I'd eat that shit up.
That,
like,
was back in April when he first was playing them.
There is no greater compliment like than heckling, in my opinion.
Right.
Because that means you meant something.
Yeah.
All right. So everybody in D.C. is thanking Bryce Harper for bringing a World Series trophy to Washington.
I love that interview. I just the fact that like Bryce Harper is just, I don't know, like, it just seems like he just doesn't really think before he talks.
It was, I mean, well, he spent 6 years, like, you know.
Oh, I know, but, like, dude, you're wearing a uniform, and you clearly,
it was,
like,
it was very clearly a Freudian slip, accidental, like, comment, like, Jesus Christ.
I know.
But it was foreshadowing. If they win the World Series.
Oh, come on. They're not winning the World Series this year.
Never say never.
And then Harper will say, I'm really happy for the Nationals for the spring game.
I'm really happy for this World Series championship. Well, yeah.
It's like he's working against us.
I love it. I love every second of that. And I'm also the guy who was on the front lines of hating A-Rod, not just because he went to the Yankees, but because he verbally agreed to a deal with the Red Sox, and then he reneged and then went to the Yankees.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Like, I mean, these kinds of things I eat up like crazy. So, anyway.
I hope the Yankees win the World Series.
No, you don't.
Yes, I do.
All right,
I'm
going to
root for them so hard.
You're sick.
sick Mukau.
They may have any other sports talk they want
to
talk.
Fuck sports. I hate it. No. The Eagles are going to lose to
video games.
The freaking Eagles play the Packers tonight, and I am in Wisconsin in danger.
Speaking of Wisconsin, one of our very good friends here is from Wisconsin. I told you about this, Ian. And they were up there for a couple weeks, and they just got back last week, and we had a dinner party with them last weekend. And the girl was wearing a shirt that was it had a huge picture of a PBR can on it, and then a block of cheese on the top of the PBR can. I'm going to have to find a link to this shirt, but I was like, oh, I got to tell Ian about that.
That's a Patrick shirt.
It's just great. I loved it.
It's a great sports state. I'll say that. It really makes Virginia. It's a great drinking state too. I went to a bar crawl last night in like this podunk town, and it's like literally like five bars within like two blocks. And this man, all anyone does is drink here. And the guy who was like hosting it created bingo cards for everybody, and you had to like check them off like as we went through the night. And one of the things on it was get a hug from Miss Patty. I'm like, who the fuck is Miss Patty? He's like, oh, is this local that like, I guarantee you will see her at some point tonight. She's this local. I'm like, the second bar we go to, we walk in the door. He's like, hey, it's Miss Patty. And she like it's just like overweight woman at the bar. I'm just like, holy fuck.
Oh my God.
Oh my God. And then some of the female guests that were with us, I guess, ran into an edible underwear salesman. Like, you can't fucking make this shit up. He had edible underwear in the back of his truck, and he gave them like a bunch of pairs of edible underwear.
What? Like, okay. So first and foremost, is there a situation where you would buy edible underwear out of the back of somebody's truck?
Well, I'm not big on edible anything.
Well, no. Like,
sex.
Would you buy a dildo out of the back of somebody's truck?
No, I would not. But they didn't have to buy it. He gave it to them. So
as like free sample?
It's free, and they ended up just leaving them on the. They took them out and put them on the ceiling fan in the bar and left them there. But
yeah, that's a good way to get herpes, I think.
Like, they were like, it was in a sealed container. I'm like, yeah, trust it.
I don't know. Anyway, oh my goodness, that is excellent. So, any other sports talk?
No, I'm good.
Okay, so game talk.
Yeah, you.
So let me just say two words about Spyro, because I promised on our last podcast I would give a review.
Yes, you did.
Spyro may be one of the greatest games that's ever been created on the planet. However, it is the greatest game for childhood gamers. It is obscenely easy. It's immersive. The world is immersive, but it is dead piss poor easy.
It's old school platforming, so.
But no, I mean, many of the newer Mario games and stuff that are platforming have difficulty flares, I guess, that like make it interesting. But yeah, like,
do they dumb down Spyro?
Huh?
Did they dumb down Spyro?
No, it's the same exact game that I remember from when I was 8, and that's not a bad thing. It's just that it is a much easier game than I remember it.
Okay.
They recreate it perfectly, like all the way down to the janky camera controls where you have to control the camera with one stick. And it took a little getting used to that, but once you get used to it, it's fine. The button layout was a little confusing at first, but again, once you get used to that, that's fine.
Well, because you're going from what used to be a PlayStation exclusive onto the Switch, which is, like, while the buttons are technically in the same places, the names for those buttons are kind of different, and the Switch likes to kind of change it as a result.
But the game is gorgeous. It uses the Unreal Engine. They've done an excellent job. Voice acting is just as good. I mean, like, sounds and scenes are awesome. I'm combating it from a completionist perspective to give a little bit more of a challenge, so I won't leave an area until I get everything from it, or at least everything I can.
Nice.
I hate the flights just as much as I did when I was a kid.
The gliding? Yeah. It's not falling. It's not flying. It's falling with style.
Right. But yeah, I mean, it's not a whole lot to say, but like, if you really liked Spyro when you were a kid, or if you never played Spyro and you want a really solid, fun thing to do in your free time, just to waste some time, highly recommend it. It's worth the price. And it was only like $29, I think. It wasn't like a full
It's pretty cheap for basically three games remastered. Yeah.
Yep.
From the ground up.
Really like it.
Cool. Awesome, dude.
Anybody play Borderlands?
No, I've not. I have not bought Borderlands. I've heard mixed things. I've heard that it's a pretty, like, I feel like if it had come out sooner to the second game, that it would have been, like, people would have been a little bit more like, oh man, this is even better than the second one. But, like, now that, like, so many years have passed, a lot of their jokes have aged really poorly, and they're all just doing the same stupid jokes again. And not to say that, like, I think that they're stupid, but, like, if you repeat the same stuff over and over again, I'm going to kind of get a little be like, oh, I thought you guys would have built off of that and done something a little bit more, or, like a lot of obvious humor stuff. So, like, anytime you hit 69 on the damage thing, your character laughs, and it's just like, oh, well, yeah, all right.
I think the perfect example of that is the patch notes from yesterday, where the there was a boss, and I can't remember the name of the boss, but there was a boss that would laugh at a extremely high volume for the entirety of the fight, in just, like, a repeating maniacal way. And they actually patched it so he only laughs at the beginning of the fight now.
Oh, mercy.
Because it was just tremendously annoying. On the flip side of that, though, I mean, I haven't played it myself, but all of the Easter eggs seem really cool. It seemed like pretty much every pop culture thing that you care about has some kind of special weapon that you can go get. Like, there's the Rick and Morty gun and all sorts of stuff. So
yeah, yeah, but I kind of feel like they lean a little... again, this is what I hear. From what I hear, that's, like, the whole game, though. Like, they don't really have a lot of their own originality anymore. It's just, like, a bunch of really bad pop culture references that would have worked in the second game back then, but now humor has kind of moved on, and the game should have kind of moved on with it. So that's the only... Again, I haven't played it. I'm sure it's not as bad as some people make it sound, because... a lot of the same people who say these things also said they didn't like Borderlands 2. I personally like Borderlands 2 a lot, but that's just me. So it'd be interesting once I ever sit down and play Borderlands 3 what the real story is.
All right, so Ian, you got any comments about Borderlands?
No, I mean, Borderlands never really appealed to me because I just felt like it was a lot of time spent with, you know, the user interface, sorting through, like, oh, this gun is incrementally better than the last
gun. Oh, yeah, that's
gun.
Still bad. I've heard that they did not do any improvements on, like, quality of life, and the inventory is still the shit inventory management of what the second one
was. Yeah, I don't like that, just generally, in the games that I play. Like, for my shooters, I generally like to be more focused on the gameplay, which I hope is silky smooth, and Borderlands has always been focused on, like, it's revels in shoot and loot, and I'm like, I could do without the loot part because it bores me. But so, I mean, Borderlands, that's just because the game isn't for me. So,
well, the loot would be fine, but if you have, like, if you're gonna build this, like, bajillion worth of guns sort of thing, and where, like, everybody keeps giving you, like, it's basically a Diablo looter kind of a feel to it, but with shooting, like, your inventory needs to be better than what this is. Like, you're getting a lot of stuff, and I don't want to have to stop my action every 5 minutes to, like, sort through, because I only have, like, 6 slots to pick up.
Well, that's one of the reasons I liked, and this is going to sound really weird, this is one of the things I liked about Destiny, was that you did all of your inventory management in between missions at the, you know, whatever tower, whatever the fuck it was called, like, where it was fine to do that. Like, I hate where you'd have to do your inventory management and checking to see if this gun is better, like, out in the field in the middle of when, like, purportedly I'm supposed to be enjoying the gameplay and the action.
Well, you could argue that you would have to do that occasionally in Destiny 2, because, like, you would still have, like, I mean, 2 as in T-O-O, not Destiny 2.
As Destiny as well.
But, like, but, yeah, so you would still have to, you could find
yourself. Most of them were engrams and stuff, which you had to get those, like, whatever the fuck, back at the tower. So, like, they weren't shit until then. Like, that's what I'm saying. It's like, you couldn't.
Well, yeah, but you would still, like, if you didn't do anything at the tower, like, it all comes to when you do your research management.
Yeah, but, like, that's the thing. It's all about the flow of the game for me. Right. And, like,
here's where I'm getting with this. I will never say that how Destiny does the tower missions is a superior thing to any other game, because I fucking hate going back to a, quote, hub just to, like, interrupt my story because that's the spot to get my quests and things. Like, no, tell the story like a fucking story. Don't keep going back because, like, you didn't know what to do with the player. And, like, that's not open world. That's not free roaming kind of a thing. Like, it's, like, I hate that kind of a hub idea. So that's the only thing I'm going with. Well, hey, you can still have your items problem. It's just that now you do it in a spot where it's like an obvious checkpoint for you.
It's satisfying to be Santa Claus. Like, you go out into the world, you get all of the toys into your pack, and then you go back to the North Pole and you unwrap all your toys. It's very satisfying to be Santa Claus.
In this scenario, Santa Claus is the one who gets his presents.
And this is, again, I think it comes back down to preference, because, like, I like when they're like, there's a million guns, like, that sounds very overwhelming. Like, how about there are a couple of guns, and I can improve the gun that I like?
Yes, actually, I wish that there was an actual, like, I'm surprised they did not put a crafting system into Borderlands 3, because it seems to be, like, ripe for that at this point.
This is why the gaming populace is just a whole, because, like, one of the biggest rubs at the beginning of Destiny 2, before everybody got tired of the lack of content and all that, was that there were only, like, I don't want to put a number on it, but there were a extremely shallow amount of items you could get. Like, you would just get the same guns over and over and over again, because the loot pool was not very big, and the idea was they were responding to the criticism that Borderlands would have, where it was just way too much, like, and you never get the same thing twice, and there's millions of combinations and everything. So, like, I feel that the gaming populace doesn't really know what they want and won't be happy with either side of the spectrum.
Most
when it comes
people
to
don't know what they want.
Because, yeah, like, I kind of liked the Destiny model where it was limited. I wish there was more, but kind of having a limited loot pool is nice, because it means that you're not on a hopeless lottery search around every planet for something you're probably never going to get, because it's like 1 in 10 million chance.
I mean, it depends on what you're in these games for, because, like, I really enjoyed Halo multiplayer because
Multiplayer. How old are you?
Well, I never
old enough.
Well, no, like, seriously, like, I don't really enjoy the loot aspect of the shoot and loot games. It's just not for me. Like, I enjoy shooting. Like, I enjoy the gameplay. So that's the thing. Like, I didn't really give a shit about it. That's one of the reasons that I liked Horizon so much. Yeah, I'll suck on Horizon's dick a little more. Like, it was not really focused on the loot aspect. There were pretty shallow number of actual weapons, and, like, you improved the weapons that you had. And, like, that was great. I loved that. Like, the gameplay was super fun, and, like, it was like, hey, let's focus on the fucking gameplay, because that's the most fun part of the game. though.
So I'm tired of talking about Borderlands, and I'm going to shift our focus to something.
What is this? Chat.
So this is probably my favorite feature in Facebook.
This cannot be real.
This is my favorite feature in Facebook now. So one of my friends shared an article, and I'm just going to read the article title. It says, "Man hospitalized after inserting a battery up his butthole to boost his energy." Okay, which sounds like a hilarious thing. Well, because Facebook is on top of the times, it now
don't give them credit. Like, they're
fine on top.
They were fucking mandated by Congress to be more responsible.
It now has a box underneath the shared article that says, whoa, bro, this is fake news. No man hospitalized after inserting a battery up his butthole to boost his energy. And so the congressional mandate, the acts of responsibility, you know, to
the system works
to keep the Russians at bay has made it so that people will not believe that a man has inserted a battery up his butthole.
The system works, people.
I guess.
We did it, boys. Donald Trump overcame fake news.
And this is the kind of humor you can expect to find in Borderlands 3. Yeah.
Oh, man. That's funny as all shit. Okay, moving right along, please.
Pat, how's your classic WoW going? I have not logged in since the last time you, me, and Ben played.
Yeah, so...
I guess the nostalgia ran out.
I never had nostalgia, I'm the one with the cold, like, shower of, like, this game was not something I liked back then, and it still is not something I like right now.
All right, so I have additional comments, one or two items. First, I forgot that leveling is the opposite as what it is in modern WoW, where if you level in a group, then you get behind because you don't get enough experience.
I thought you got more experience.
Well,
in classic,
so here's the thing. Here's the thing is that, like, you
should get more experience. Share, that's how you get me to group.
Like, it's not a shared loot table, as you know, but, like,
I think that the greatest thing that WoW had ever done was to fix how looting works and to have preferred looting. I don't care. I think that the idea that you could go in and have your group screw you over and have you waste an entire, like, night because you didn't get a single piece of anything is the most bullshitty of all bullshit things.
Alright, so certain quests have shared loot, but overall it's not shared loot. I think the idea is that it's not that you get less experience or more experience, it's that you're killing less things when you're grouped with people, and so therefore you're getting less experience overall, because the main experience you're getting isn't from turning in quests, it's from killing things.
So, like, if you're not the one who killed them, even though you were in the group, the experience points isn't going to get spread out for everybody?
I'm not sure, and it's something that might be worth looking up if I cared enough about it, but the bottom line...
Because as a group, I would expect that your rate of kills would, like, increase, because you're able to take on more and, like, kind of sweep through a forest if you wanted to.
Not necessarily. But, so, anyway, like, I remember this very clearly from original WoW, and this is how me and Ben, is that, like, what ends up happening is you then your quest turn-ins outpace, like, your level, and you get to a point where you're getting orange and red quests instead of just the steady pace of yellow/orange quests that you would if you do it by yourself. So, like, through Elwynn Forest, I did Elwynn Forest almost entirely on my own, and it was a fine progression, and only group up whenever you have the group quests, like for Hogger. For Westfall, though, it started out fine, and then I grouped up with Ben, like, 2 days in a row, and we played a lot. And then it was all of a sudden, it's like, all right, well, we're only level 13, 14 still, but we need to be, like, level 15 to 17. And so that really kind of put a damper on it, and it was just...
Yeah, the experience points, and it feels like it plateaus a little bit in terms of, like, how much an experience point is needed to grow your next level.
Yeah, and so it was just like, well, I don't really know what I'm going to do here. And I don't know if Ben's played at all since, but I've logged on since, and we ran around Westfall. It was fun, but I got to figure out something to do. So I was like, okay, well, I'm going to go to Red Ridge, because maybe I can do a little bit of an intermediary thing in Red Ridge. Well, no,
I like Red Ridge. I remember liking Red Ridge quite a bit.
well, no, Red Ridge is kind of a little bit higher than what I needed. So, like, okay, fine. Well, there's the connection quest to go to Loch Modan. And so that's what I just ended up doing. And I did the dwarf quest up to Loch Modan, and I'm now farting around up there. And I'm sure that the end game has the same shortfalls, just like Destiny endgame, where like you really need to keep up with it in order to stay current and be competitive and everything. But for me, WoW right now is filling the same itch and the same desire that Classic WoW did back in Classic. Because I mean, I was a little kid. I mean, I wasn't playing all the time, hours and hours a day. You have school, you had everything like that. Like, it took me like a year or something in order to get my character from 1 to 40. I remember.
Yeah.
And that's really the pace that I'm kind of moving at right now. And I don't.
Actually, you're at like it. What you said, level 13 right now?
I'm a little higher than that now.
You're actually probably ahead of that pace because you, in a total of a month at your rate, like, you're already
well,
over
it slows
a
down
there.
A lot.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, true. But,
yeah, so like, I'm super happy with it. Is it the best game in the world? No. Is it going to, does it, obviously it doesn't break any barriers or anything, but if you want that classic experience that brings the casual back to WoW, at least in my mind, then Classic WoW is where it's at. Because like retail WoW is exactly like Classic WoW if there was no challenge at all. Like if you want a quote unquote challenging game that compared to retail WoW that doesn't allow you to watch movies and respond to people while you're aggroing 70 million people at one time, then Classic WoW is the game for you.
Ian, do you ever see yourself playing Classic WoW just to prove Patrick wrong?
No, I mean, I never was really into WoW, so I don't think that at this point I'm too far gone. Like, it's too late.
You could have a guild of mediocre gentlemen.
No, it's too late now, and I just don't have the time. Like, that's the thing. We talked about this in the last podcast.
Yeah,
like, the amount of time it would take to devote, it can't happen right now, unfortunately.
Yep, I get that. So. Yeah, so.
All right. So, tell me about this crazy new game that I've never heard called Divinity 2.
Divinity Original Sin 2. I finally got it for the Switch. I have not played it that much. I mostly got it because I wanted to try out the whole save sync thing that is supposed to be syncs up with the your PC. It kind of works. Here's my issue. It's the definitive of the edition. So like, if you're on Classic on the PC, I don't think that's going to sync up to the one on the Switch. And that's like 98% of what I have on my PC right now. I haven't really started a definitive edition game yet. And
gotcha, yeah.
So I don't really know if it works well or not. I will say that like immediately when you start it up, it will ask you what's your Steam account and if you want to sync up with your Steam. And then you can go in, and this is actually something cool, is in the options, you can... for the game save sync, you can ask it like what profile you want to play on, and it will let you sort through based on like your characters or whatever to try to get it into the one. Unfortunately, all the characters I have are classic, so like the thing comes up with an error, and I think this is the reason, unless there's something else going on, but like it comes up with an error saying that we couldn't find any saves that work on this game, and so I think it's all because I actually thought I had a definitive edition save game at some point, but I don't know. Maybe I accidentally erased it or something. I don't know. But like, it's not showing up, and I think it's just because I played on Classic for the majority of the times, and maybe I just accidentally got rid of my other save. So, but other than that, I played a little bit. It plays exactly how you think it does. It's super nice. I'm the only thing I have yet to see, and I'm not. It's going to take me a while to get to this part, or at least set this up. But like in the PC version, at least there comes like a frame rate problem when you light up the entire area on fire,
mm-hmm.
and and like even on the PC, on my like my PC is pretty good at running games. It slows down for a minute as it tries to figure out what to do now that everything's on fire. And I want to know how the hell the Switch is going to handle that. Because I cannot imagine that it's going to be a good scene.
Yeah. Well, all the power to that. I don't think I'm going to buy it unless I have some huge, huge motivation to. Because I kind of fell off the bandwagon on the PC. And I don't know. I can't see myself getting it on the Switch.
Well, I'm always here if you want to continue our grand adventure.
Hell yeah.
I have we like 298 hours.
We need to play Diablo.
Did you see Diablo 3 is on sale on the Switch right now? The whole
caboodle?
Oh, okay. It's like on sale for like less than $30 or something.
We can play together if you get it on the Switch.
Is it, it doesn't sync up to the PC, does it?
No.
Okay. That's similar to, I guess, the PS4.
You can play with the Switch people.
Okay, so but we would have to start a whole new game.
Yeah, I mean, but it's Diablo, like, whatever.
That's true, yeah. There are certainly classes I have not played yet, so I would be potentially down for that. So,
cool. Go ahead, sorry.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, I was just going to say, I do think that Ian would enjoy Divinity. I think that this is a game that's up his alley.
In what way?
Ian's too busy buying gutters.
So, it's an RPG. It's a really good RPG with a really good story. Really, really good cast of characters. It's got a lot of cool little motivations all clashing. The combat's really cool because all this stuff, like, works with each other. Like, you've got, like, you could throw, like, oil down and set it on fire, and then the whole thing gets fired up or whatever. You can cause, like, blood of rain to come down and cause bleeding effects on people, but there's also now liquid on the water, so you can light that up with electricity. You have, like, random little combos, like if you break this guy's armor down, you can now cut his tendons and then turn him into a chicken, and then when he runs around, he bleeds out because the chicken's forcing him to run in circles. All these little, like, things that come up with, and some of them the developers had no idea that people would, figure out or even figure out that they could do. But yeah, so I recommend it. It's also multiplayer, and then we can play together. And it feels like, and if you like Dungeons & Dragons, then you really will like, I think, Divinity Original Sin 2.
It is a visual Dungeons & Dragons that doesn't require you to write anything down or do any math. And honestly, like, now that come to think of it, you really might like it, Ian, because I feel like I grew tired of Divinity for the same reason why I would get weary of Dungeons & Dragons. Because, like, it's a slog sometimes, right? And I just wasn't enjoying the slog. And I, the same thing happened with me in Divinity. I just stopped enjoying the slog.
Well, it's not so much a slog, but if you walk a certain direction, like, you have to kind of be careful, because if you turn around a certain corner, that could be way over your level. I mean, it will let you go that way, but, like, you'll all of a sudden just get
slammed
right back
down. Yeah, and that's how you learned. That's how you learn. I'm sorry that modern games...
No,
you cut out there. Sorry, Ian.
Cut out.
Just that modern games have coddled us, and like, you
but
know,
that's not my that's not my gripe. Like, turning the wrong way is not my gripe.
But as a result, you kind of tiptoe around, trying to make sure that you're not about to run into a fight that you can't handle.
No, that's not my gripe at all. Like, the slog is that, like, you create the idea is that you is just like in Dungeons and Dragons, you have an extremely deep world that allows for unlimited exploration. And depth, really. And so you go around and you can make really whatever you want out of stuff. And so you can spend all evening in one town talking to people, learning about stuff, buying and selling stuff, killing small critters and stuff like that. And the story can easily get lost in the process because you can go in so many directions. And I feel that for me, that's the slog of both Dungeons and Dragons and a Divinity, it can be such an unfocused experience that it detracts from the allure of the focus.
Are you saying that you don't want to play Dungeons and Dragons with Ian's new world coming up?
No, I totally do. I'm just saying, all I'm saying is exactly what I said, that, like, it wears on you after a while, and just like our campaign that we completed, you know, there were times where it was hard to schedule because I think it just wore on everybody.
Well, that, and, like, I mean, I do know in Dungeons & Dragons, those you know, let's go shopping, guys, moments can turn your campaign into a slow campaign.
Yep. All right, so let's please move along, because I want to hear the most exciting part of this episode before Ian has to go.
Okay.
So, movies and entertainment. Talk to me about Hollywood, Ian.
Oh, well, on the list here, it says The Boys is first. So
No, we're not talking about that anymore.
Did you finish The Boys?
I did not, because Susan said she wanted to watch it with me, and she has yet to watch it with me, so I think I'm just going to abandon her.
What episode did you leave on?
I don't know, 3 or 4.
Oh, okay.
Oh, right before the two speedsters are about to race.
Oh, nice. Okay, so you're kind of already, they've already sort of introduced the plot, so to speak, the weird serum thingy.
Yeah, I guess makes them stronger or something.
Still don't 100% go into it, but like there's moments where
I'm assuming it's like a steroid, like for superpowers, but it probably makes you crazy.
Yeah, essentially. At least that's how much they basically kind of let us know about. But I finished it. I thought it was really good. It's not the best thing in the world. I don't think it's going to light the world on fire. But it does. My worry was that they were going to Game of Thrones the cynicism up a little bit, where they were going to just make it so much that everything is just, and just like everyone's awful people and the whole world's full of assholes because assholes rule the world. And if you're not an asshole, then you're going to be corrupted to become an asshole, or you're going to get killed anyway. So like that was where I was afraid that they were going to do. And instead, they very much have more of a we're going to fight it if we can, I think I appreciate that a little bit more. It's just not everyone gets corrupted and dies, or dies.
Because it is fairly nihilistic. So
it is very still. That still is there. It's still very nihilistic, no matter what. All right, now we can talk about It Part Two and how Hollywood.
Oh, all right. Oh God, I need to stretch here a little bit. I got to get back into my angry place.
He fell asleep during the gaming talk.
you gotta stretch your fingers for this keyboard warrior moment.
So, Patrick, I'm surprised you haven't seen it, since you really liked the book, right? Because you've read the book.
Yep, I'm not gonna say it's one of my favorite books ever, but like whatever, I think I've read it 2 years ago, maybe 3 years ago, something like that.
So you were a fan of the book. Were you a fan of the first film? Like this, not the yeah. Were you a fan of It One?
I was not a fan of the structure. I was almost kind of put off by the structure, but I was a fan of the execution. I thought it was a great film.
Okay. And what were your thoughts on the TV movie?
The one from like 30 years ago?
Yeah. Have you seen that?
Not for a really long time. I remember it was really cheap.
That's all I remember.
Yeah, it was pretty bad. So, okay. So I also enjoyed the first It. I thought it was a little heavy on the jump scares, but other than that, I thought the cast was really good. I thought it was a fun watch. It had some genuinely creepy moments, which were appreciated, that it wasn't all jump scares. And I think the performances really fueled it. So this one was 2 hours and 48 minutes long.
Holy crap.
Like, this was longer than Avengers Endgame, I'm sure. And it felt every minute of it. Like, that's... So, like, because I've seen long movies before. I saw Endgame. I've seen, like, the Return of the King was also very long. But none of those movies felt their length, because there was always moving and things were happening and you were engaged in the story. Oh my God, I wanted to leave during this film. Like, I desperately wanted to leave, but we brought a friend, and so like we couldn't like just bail.
What if the friend wanted to leave too?
Yeah, I mean, if he had like leaned over and said like, "This sucks," I would have been like, "Yeah, let's go." So I remember, just so like broadly speaking, the first time I saw, when I saw the first movie, I remember the audience being like really engaged and like really a lot of energy and stuff, and like people like, you know, screaming at the bad, like at the scary parts and laughing at the funny parts and stuff. Yeah, it was like a pin, you could drop a pin during most of this film, during the second one. And a handful of the times where I was laughing at the movie, not laughing at funny parts. I was laughing because the movie was laughably bad. Mm-hmm. Like, there was a part that was obviously supposed to be frightening where, what's his face? Richie, the like smartass, like the smartass character who swears a lot. Encounters Pennywise, and Pennywise, I guess, brings this giant Paul Bunyan statue in Derry to life, which, please tell me if that's in the book, Pat. Like, is there a part where Richie gets chased by a giant Paul Bunyan statue?
Not that I remember.
Well, it's in this fucking film.
But there's a ton of stuff, like, in the book where it's obvious that it's not, that not everybody can see it.
Right, so like he gets chased by a giant Paul Bunyan statue, which the way they framed it was supposed to be funny, or not supposed, or supposed to be scary, not funny. And I was like rolling, like I was like, this is fucking dumb. Like most of, all right, let me start broad here. So just broadly speaking, the actors were good, the cast was good. You know, they did a good job casting the adult versions of the kids. I would say they don't gel quite as well as the kids did, but overall they were good. The effects, like the special effects in this movie, were horseshit. It was so heavy with CGI, and it wasn't even good CGI. And it's like, it felt like watching a Fox movie, like X-Men film, with like where the CGI is always like a little bit behind everybody else. The script was a fucking mess. It was all over the place, and it had like no focus. Like, I felt like the first movie, the script was much more focused and tense. And this one, it's about the first 30 minutes of the film are focused on the characters, which was like my favorite part of the film. And then it just devolves into CGI creepy clown nonsense. And then like everyone has to go get their totems. And it's like super boring in how it's structured, and then they all like cut them apart and then come back together, and then they have to go down to the sewers to defeat it in like the exact same way they defeated him in the first movie. So it was felt very repetitive. And
keep going.
No, like I get that, like in the end of the so they didn't mention the cosmic turtle. Did mention the ritual of Chud though. Like, that is a thing they mentioned. They mentioned it, and the version that they had to the book. Everyone had to... Huh?
You cut out there for a second.
They did. So the ritual, how it worked in this movie, and you tell me how close it is to the book, is that they had to go and get a totem or, like, an artifact to sacrifice. Yep. And then, like, they would each sacrifice their artifact, and then that would allow them, that would give them the power to kill it.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Okay, so like that, but like, so that's what they did. They each went and like searched for their own artifact, but like that made it very repetitive because it's like and they have to do it on their own. And so like, well, character goes and searches for their artifact, creepy thing happens to them, and then they run away. And then it happens fucking 5 times. And I'm just like, oh my God, this is so fucking boring. Like, it did not lend itself well to a film. Like, I was like, the more I watched this, the more I was like, Netflix needs to adapt this fucking book, like as a 10-part miniseries, well, because this is terrible.
All right, I'm going to cut you off there. So there's a few things. First, apparently the Paul Bunyan thing is, but I don't remember it. I just looked it up, but it is in the book. So there you go. Secondly, the book is like 1,300 pages long. It is. A ridiculously long book that does get repetitive.
It's a coke-fueled mess.
Right. But, like, I feel that...
And then the kids just fucked.
No. Like, I feel that that their decision... And this is one of my original thoughts way years ago. Their decision to not intertwine the stories ruined the whole thing. Like, because the whole... idea of the book is that it's telling both stories at the same time.
But so that's, like, the whole but that's point. The thing. But no, but here's the thing too, is they had so many flashbacks in this film to when they were kids, then I'm like, why did you even have the first movie? Right. Because like, you could totally watch this film without seeing the first one and you'd be fine. Because they flashed back to the kids so much and they retconned a whole bunch of shit that you didn't think happened in the first one, but they're like, oh, here's a scene that happened at this point in the story that we didn't have in the first movie. Yeah. Like this is doesn't make any fucking sense. The script was awful. Like, it wasn't, and the movie, like, I'm not big on horror movies, as you guys know. Like, I tend to get like a little skittish during them. This movie was not scary. Not even a little bit. Like, there was a couple moments that were startling, but of course they're projected so hard that I could just like look away for a second. And then of course, they jump out, and then you'd be like, okay, now I can look because nothing else is frightening. Like, there was no subtlety. There was no practical effects at all. It was just 100% CGI and like bad CGI. So it looked awful. And then the end. And this is how I imagine this happens. Because I'm like, I laughed out loud so hard at the fucking end. Where I was, and this is, do you want this movie spoiled? Because I won't say it.
I mean, no, you say it.
I'm not going to watch it, so go for it.
So if you've seen, of course in the book, the whole thing is that it is an alien from another world, and that his true, he takes the form of whatever you're afraid of. And
wait,
like,
really? In the book, he's an alien?
Yes, he's an alien.
Well, it's more like an interdimensional.
He's a cosmic being. He's not from Earth. He came to Earth like millions of years ago, whatever. Okay. And like, he's a cosmic being.
I thought that the point was like it was like some dark force.
He is some sort of cosmic force that is not of this world. So like, but in the book, he takes the form of whatever you fear. But it's pretty much said that his true form is beyond the realm of human comprehension. So he sort of appears as this sort of spider-like creature because it's the closest thing that the human mind could like associate with him as his true form.
And this is deep.
But like in the made-for-TV movie, he essentially looks like a giant spider, and it looks awful. It's a stop-motion spider, and it's super fucking bad. So, and it was very like famously panned as being very lame. So, I could just picture the producers and the writers. They're like, "Well, it's supposed to be a spider creature, but people like the clown, spider clown." So it's literally a CGI giant spider with the top half of Pennywise on the top.
Of course it is.
It was fucking hilarious. Right,
so is it like in Star Wars Episode 1 where he's got like the Trade Federation dudes that ride on those little spider things?
Oh,
you know what I'm talking about.
I know what you're talking. It's kind of like, well, I was thinking more, it's more like in the Clone Wars TV show where Darth Maul comes back with robot legs. With the spider robot legs.
Oh my god.
it's literally it. And you know it was just the writer. It's the laziest fucking shit where people
But they didn't
like,
do the Cosmic Turtle.
Clown. No, they did not have the Cosmic Turtle.
Well, that just kind of ruins the whole shoe thing.
But it's so lazy. It's not frightening at all. It's this idea that they, I guess, wanted to make a Marvel movie but have it be a horror movie, but it's not a horror movie. And it's so insulting. The writing is insultingly bad. Like, absolutely, tragically, horribly bad. And I'm like, what the who wrote this piece of shit? And of course, like, Stephen King has this cameo in it. Where I'm like, this, it reeks of like, hey, Stan Lee has cameos in the Marvel movies. Why don't we have Stephen King have this? Like, oh, it was terrible. Now, but like, the sad thing was, is like, I could see the actors were really good, and I saw some good bones in there, and some like, there were a couple little creepy moments where I was like, hey, that's kind of clever. Like, maybe if you had done more of that, like, it turned into. I heard one reviewer remark on it, and I thought it was like 100% on the nose. Like, it turned, after the jump scare, a lot of the stuff, it looked like that Goosebumps movie with Jack Black.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, did you guys see the It 2 trailer?
Yeah, I did.
Mm-hmm. Like, I thought it was a pretty creepy trailer. Yeah, like, like with the old lady in the background. Yep. Shit, and then she's naked for some reason. I'm like, she's dead and stuff. I'm like, oh, that's pretty fucking creepy. And then
it's like a really great scene in the book too.
it's a really great. And then, like, I don't know if this happens in the book, but she turns into this giant troll-like bug-eyed like monster thing that runs at her, like, for no fucking reason.
What happens? Yeah,
she grows 3 feet and runs at. Yep. But it's like this. It's this horrible CGI. Like,
yeah,
like it looks awful. And I'm laughing. I'm like, why am I laughing? Like, is this supposed to be funny? Like, I don't get it. I don't understand, like, why it's funny. And, like, that's the thing. Like, half of it was almost redone, I felt, in post to be a comedy. Because there was one part where the hypochondriac, Eddie? Was it Eddie?
I can't remember any character names.
Whatever. The hypochondriac. Like, he encounters the leper from the first movie. And the leper vomits black sludge in his face.
Yep.
And
in the book.
So the way it happened, the way it was shot, and like it was kind of this wide angle shot. And all of a sudden, as soon as the leper starts vomiting in his face, all of a sudden that song comes on, like, "Don't call me Angel." Like that. That's like from Deadpool. Like, right. Starts playing, and I'm like, that's, and then it stops, and I'm like, this is so weird. Like, it felt like they shot it to be scary, and then funny. It wasn't scary, and so they were like, let's make it funny. And I'm like, what the fuck?
All right, so your review completely reinforces the thought that I had back when we first talked about this a week ago. Is that in order to do this just marathon book with all of its details and twists and turns justice, it doesn't need to be a Netflix series. It needs to be a 2-part, 5-hour-ish film that has an intermission in them. So, like,
and it's all interwoven between each other.
Right, so that exactly. Way, and the idea here, just like the book, is that if you are not exhausted by the time that you're ready to face its final form, then it's done something wrong. Because, like, I feel that Ian was exhausted at that point in this movie, which is the right effect, but for entirely wrong reasons. And it's because, I mean, there's a lot of reasons for it, and Ian went through most of those. But, like, also because you got to recover from the first movie. Like, it needs to be a marathon in order to do it justice.
What, so you have the feeling of somebody who's, like, high on cocaine screaming at you for 1,300? Ages.
Well, yeah, because like these people, like, obviously I've never read the book and I've never watched the movie, but like I've looked up the synopsis and talked to you guys enough that I can at least say something. But like these people have been dealing with this force, this entity, for their whole lives, and are also should be feeling exhausted by the time they get to this point. And also the climaxes should line up so that they synchronize into this double climax moment of just like, I know you're exhausted, but you're almost there.
Right. Exactly.
I just think a lot of it doesn't translate well to film, because I'm assuming a lot of this happens in the book. Like,
yeah, I don't disagree.
Like, when they got together, the first get-together as adults, they're eating dinner at this Chinese restaurant, and then, like, all of a sudden, little monsters start coming out of the dishes in the center of the table, and it looks so bad. I'm like, it's just terrible little CGI monsters, and I'm like, this looks awful. Like, it's not scary at all. Maybe this just doesn't translate to film. Like, maybe they need to not adapt it so closely because it doesn't work as a movie, and like try to adapt it into something that would.
Would that scene, if it was cut completely, do anything to the story? If you cut off that Chinese restaurant scene?
Well, it's supposed to be the first moment, like, since they get all together, where there is like supernatural stuff that like indicates that Pennywise, that like, because like at that point they're still getting their memory back, right? Because the further you get away from Derry, like, you start forgetting about it, and you forget about everything that happens in your childhood and everything. So they're starting to get their memories back, and that's the first time that something happens that really like grounds them back and like, oh shit, this shit's happening again.
Gotcha.
So I'm gonna have the unpopular opinion though, that I do not find Stephen King to be very scary.
I mean, I don't disagree. I think he's more.
But yeah.
No, I've at this point I've gone through a nice little catalog of Stephen King. Like the books, not the movies.
Have you read 11/22/63?
No, I haven't.
That's a really good book.
Why is no one?
I have read it.
Okay. Okay. Thank God.
It's really good, but like most Stephen King books, it has a slightly unsatisfying ending.
Yeah. And so, like, Stephen King is really good at the creepy, and like, if you allow your imagination to roll with it, especially in books like The Shining, you can really get that scare factor. But like, it is a classic horror movie or classic horror book, which I feel needs to be separated from scary, right? Like, when I was reading through it, there were definitely moments where it was like, oh man, this is scary shit. But like, it's not like an overwhelming scariness. It's more of like an overwhelming feeling of dread and creepy.
Yeah, and it ties a lot into the sort of things that scare you as a child, because your imagination is kind of raw as a child, and you blow things up and everything. Like I could definitely see how reading the book as a kid would like traumatize you, but like as an adult, and like books are such an immersive medium, especially a long book like that, where you can really immerse yourself into that foreboding,
right?
Like the undercurrent and tone. And in a film, especially one that's broken up into two separate films, which is relies much more on creepy imagery. And that's not the strong suit of the medium for like from which it's being adapted, because it's not, the imagery isn't really creepy. It's the tone.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that if you wanted to put like not horror but like subcategory dread or creepy as like what it probably would be more accurate toward.
I also just don't think they gave a fuck. Like I really don't. Like a lot of the creative decisions that they made and like deep looking effects and the script being put together just so by the numbers, like, and they didn't do jack shit with a lot of the character development. They focused on Richie, he had a good arc, but they completely ignored, like for most of the movie, they ignored Bill altogether. Ben was, I guess, fine. And like, but the thing with Beverly, with her abusive husband,
mm-hmm.
Like they have a scene where he's being like a piece of shit at the beginning of the movie, and then they never mention he's never mentioned again. And like it was a great opportunity to talk about like, if you want to make the message and tone of this film, like coming back and having to confront trauma like from your childhood, because like the whole thing is like, oh, like she grew up and married someone just like her father. Like that's an interesting character development. Like come back and face that trauma from your childhood so that you can not, you know, be caught in this cycle. But like they never mentioned it again. They established it and then it was never mentioned again. I'm like, you lazy fucks. Well, whatever. And like they even had, what's his name? Andriak, he married.
He cut out a lot on that one.
Yeah.
Like,
did.
And, huh?
You cut out a bit of.
Oh, sorry. Character. Like, he married an overweight, demanding woman like his mom, and like they never mentioned that again. Like, it's no, like they establish all these nice threads where I'm like, hey, it'd be cool to tie these up so that these characters have to overcome the trauma and face the things that like they did as children that kind of shaped them as adults. But nope, we're not going to do that. Spooky clown! Spooky clown, do spooky thing and then turn into CGI monster that looks like horse shit. It was an insulting film and I wish I hadn't seen
it. There you go.
God, I don't remember the last time I was so mad at a movie.
Let me work it.
Yeah, well, so, Ian, when do you work next?
Tomorrow night.
Okay, so, bottle up all this rage about this movie and take it out on your local minorities.
Jesus Christ. That's so mean.
It's what it would want you to do.
Exactly. It would be what it wants
it would, to do. It would be. It, he devoured.
Yes.
Yes, something of that line. Yes, he devoured blank.
Huh? Did I cut out again?
Yeah, you did.
Yeah. You know, started cutting out a lot more at the end.
I don't know why I'm cutting out, and all of a sudden devoured a gay man who.
Oh yeah,
this film.
Yeah, that's a fun scene too.
It was actually like a pretty good start. Like it was a creepy image of him like almost drowning and then seeing it on the shoreline. Like, it was, yep. I was like, hey, this has a promising start. And I'm like, and it's gone.
Yep, I get you.
Ian, you know what, though? I'm going to need you to take that angry palate. I'm going to need you to cleanse it. Because you know what we're seeing next week.
Funny Girl Senpai.
Oh, yes, but not in that tone.
Okay, I do need to see that. I'm going to see...
I've started rewatching the episodes so I can get caught back up and ready for the next chapter.
And then I'm going to see the Joker movie at some point.
I'm not excited about it.
I'm like...
Wait. Which clown will be better, the Joker or the It Part 2?
Well, if we're limiting it to Part 2, it's probably...
That's a low bar.
No, it's just Part 2. That's all I want. Because my expectations for the Joker movies is going to be utter horseshit like the Suicide Squad was.
Really?
So, yep.
Even with the early positive buzz.
Yep, I have no positive buzz for this. I think it's going to be horseshit. Because the Joker, I never felt like the Joker was intended to ever be a focal point. It was always this mayhem with a smile kind of a thing on the side that like was an antagonist, not something that should be a protagonist of a film. So, I don't know. I think this is going to be just Edge for sake of Edge.
Richard, we got to wrap this up, but I do have one more question for you.
All right.
So real quickly, a couple minutes or less. How is the pork buns maker?
Oh, really good. So I haven't actually gotten a chance to make the pork buns myself. This is just the steam pot is what I got.
Right.
But from the local Asian place, H Mart. I was able to get several different types of pork buns. The steam, I can 100% say the steam pot works fantastically. I do not like vegetable and mushroom pork steam buns. Those are not to be had, but the pork buns were excellent.
I thought you had made them yourself.
No, I did not. I am not that great just yet. I don't think I have all... I would have to get a lot more stuff right now. I didn't have the time. I just wanted to get the actual steam process down before I started to screw with the ingredients of the actual food. So
gotcha.
But
all right.
But yeah, I would recommend. So far, so good. I believe that I suppose that's my next step is to actually make the pork buns myself and then steam them. Nice. Now that I've got the steam process down. Cool. Yeah. That's all I got.
Cool. Well, thank you.
Yeah, I'll steam your buns.
Oh, yes, I know. All right. Well, I got to get going.
All right, guys. Thank you so much for joining us coming and making time for today. So let's run down the last little bits. So if anyone has any questions, concerns, comments, criticisms, whatever, then you can email us at leagueofmediocregentlemen@otnmedia.org. We also have a Twitter. It's @TheLOMGPodcast. You can send us any kind of like direct message or whatever. There will be a Discord link in the description below for the OTN Media Discord channel, so that way you can chat with us or any of the folks of the OTN community. A lot of esports and League of Legends or Dota nonsense is in there. So if you like that stuff, go for it. There's Twitch streams every Tuesday and Thursday at 8 p.m., I'm still on a hiatus from my Twitch, so it's mostly Thursday at 8 p.m. But also, Monday is a Level Up podcast with John and Joey, also at 8 p.m. And then last but not least...
It's really bad.
What? No, I've been on it. It's really fun. I highly recommend going on there and then making as many like goofy comments as possible and seeing if John and Joey can keep up with it.
Oh, wait, so they stream it on Twitch?
They stream it on Twitch, and that's the best part.
Wait, what time is it again?
At 8 p.m. on Mondays.
Oh, man.
So
okay, never mind.
I highly recommend...
This seems like a trap.
Yeah, no, it's only a trap for John and Joey.
That's what I meant.
Oh, yeah. It's a really... Like, on paper, it's a really bad idea to do this. But they do it anyway, and so I highly recommend to abuse
this.
Let's cut that
part out. We're corporate overlords here.
Oh, you're right, you're right. Anyway, last but not least, there is a Patreon for us. It's at patreon.com/OTN. So if you liked us or you'd like any other part of the OTN media kind of conglomerate? No, that's not right. then, but you can give us some money, and there are some tiers there that John and Joey have been working on. So by all means, check that out and try to help support us in some way. So that way I can be better at actually producing these podcasts.
Oh, man. There's no hope for that.
Well, you never know. You never know. But
I'm so looking forward to Monday right now. Like, I'm stoked about the prospect of trolling John and Joey.
Oh, it's really good, because sometimes they're like on top of the ball, and other times it's really fun to see them get completely tripped up and not sure how, like, how, do I respond to this? Do I continue on with their conversations?
It's about games, right?
It's about games. Yep, they do. It's not just esports game, which is what I originally thought it was, but it's a lot of just general gaming news and stuff. So they just unpackage a whole lot of things that's going around the news reels at the moment for the week. So.
Okay, so like, so I can go in there and be like, who do you think would make a better baby? Samus and Link, or Spyro and Mario?
100% Spyro and Mario.
It's half dragon breed at that point.
Right. Well, so, but these are the types of things that, that would be appropriate for their chat.
Maybe. They're going to talk more on, like, bigger sort of ideas. So, like, they talked, well, the one I just joined in was, they were talking about, like, Destiny, and, like, if there was a path to bringing back people that were, like, I guess, turned off from certain aspects of Destiny, and they were talking specifically the Crucible, and so I had to, of course, make a joke about the Crucible by John Miller, and it didn't 100% land for them, so.
Probably never read it.
Yeah, probably. It's unfortunate.
They're uncultured swines.
Damn right they are. God damn it. All right. Guys,
speaking of uncultured swines, say bye.
Speaking of uncultured swines, it's time to go and have some pork buns. All right, guys, thank you again, and I hope that we can do this again soon. And thank you all for listening, and hope you all have at least a mediocre day.